Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Financial Translator, where we discuss financial topics in layman's terms to move you from confusion to confidence on a given topic. I am your host, Kirk Krekemeyer, the Principal Advisor at Pebble Valley Wealth Management. We are a fee-only financial advisory firm helping our clients make informed decisions on their road toward financial security. You can find more information at pvwealthmgt.com. On today's show, I'm going to provide a market update with returns through the end of February. This is actually a leap month, and so my charts will be including some 229 dates. Haven't seen those in 4 years, so kind of a special podcast here. I also provide this monthly market update as a blog post that you can reference with the graphs that I mentioned on today's podcast. The general format for your regular listeners, thank you very much for listening, continues to be the same, and that is I provide an update on the major asset classes, any noteworthy moves. We'll talk about some interest rates, treasury market moves, comment on the Federal Reserve, and then any special topics. This month, it's going to be a quick reminder to get your tax info to your accountant. As a brief legal disclaimer, my discussions here should not be construed as financial or investment advice, and each person's situation is unique. All right, let's go. So referencing my blog post and going down the usual format, I start with a table at the top of the page. For the eagle eyes out there, you'll see I have a new source here, the different Morningstar Advisor Workstation source, but otherwise everything else is the same there. We did drop one column. We used to show the 1 in 10-year standard deviations. I did that back when volatility got really, really low, back in pre-COVID, whatever that was. I can't recall now, but lately the two time periods have been similar, so I also dropped that as well. But anyway, talk about the markets. So looking at the chart, you'll see some more green popping out. So that's a theme, I guess, for the last 4 or 5 months that continued in February. So U.S. equities were up over 5%, 5.5% for the large caps, just under 5% for small caps. So a very strong return. I'm going to talk about later about the Federal Reserve, but these high returns are in spite of the market pulling back on Fed rate cut expectations. And so market doesn't seem to care, continues to plow ahead. Also similar to 2023, late last year, markets continue to be dominated by a few of the handful of names. And so that is still with us, although I'm recording this on midday, call it on March the 5th, Tuesday, March the 5th, and definitely starting to see a pullback in the markets starting yesterday and then today noticeable again. So we'll have to see how we progress. But again, month-end returns up over 5% in U.S. equity. On a year-to-date basis, the large caps definitely dominating. So the small caps kind of had a catch-up mode this past month. And so they are only up 1% year-to-date on smalls, but large cap is up over 7%. So pretty strong showing. Jumping across the pond on the international side, solid month, emerging more so. So emerging markets were 4.75% up for the month. But developed markets were still up 1.8%. So again, very solid showing for a month's work, but maybe looks a little tame relative to the tech-heavy U.S. equity market. Year-to-date basis there, emerging is just called flat and down slightly for the year, and developed markets up 2.4%. What else jumps out at me on the monthly return? REITs, U.S. REITs anyway. So I guess there's a difference between U.S. REITs and international this month. Quite different. But surprisingly, so again, interest rates were up for the month of February, about a quarter of a point, a quarter of a percent. But REITs were up in that environment, which is a little surprising, just given, again, higher rates usually pulls back bond-like asset classes. And again, the continued concerns of commercial real estate are still with us. We got reminders again with the New York Community Bank getting clocked again pretty hard toward the end of the month. And again, some of it may have been happening early March here. I'm kind of forgetting my days right now, but those issues are still with us. So, but, market doesn't care. U.S. REITs were up 1.9% for the month. On the international side, however, that down 5.6%. More expected. So again, no one wants to see a down 5% month, but kind of expected given the rate, but more importantly, the commercial sector backdrop. On the bond side, those are where the negatives come from for this past month. Again, I mentioned interest rates were up about 0.25%, a quarter of a point. And so, bonds were down slightly. So, the 5-year treasury bogey was about 1.5% down. 30-year rates weren't up as much. And so, yes, that has longer duration, but it wasn't down more than one would have thought by duration alone. It was only down about 2.1%. So kind of a meh month in bond land, but slight negative just with rising rates drifting back up. Jumping over to the next chart or graph I show on my blog post, similar asset classes, I should say, but I capture what the return has been over time using ETFs as these major asset classes. That way, not just talking about what happened at the end of each time period, but you can see what the activity was throughout time. This month, I did flip over to, in the past, I would show the last 1 year returns. This year, I flipped over to just a year-to-date returns, and so it shows first 2 months of 2024. For the major asset classes, again, the two extremes, again, SPY, so think U.S. large caps, that's up 6.9%, 6.89 to be exact, through the end of February, February 29th, on the graph there. And then the REITs, I mentioned before, they surprised me that they were up, but those are actually the lowest returning on the graph there, down 3.07% to be exact. But you'll see on the graph, it was quite a bit lower at the end of January. I would have expected that trend to continue downward in February, but was not the case. But we'll see what happens as we move forward here. What else to note in this chart? Oh, I also show last month was the first time I introduced it. I kept it in there this time. And that is I continue to show the equal weighted S&P ETF. The ticker is RSP for those playing along at home. So the reason I put that in there was to capture this. Again, I've been talking about tech heavy dominating the market cap weighted SPY. So this RSP ticker is the same 500 names, but everybody gets an equal weight. So you can see that as that dispersion in those returns is letting you know that the SPY being driven by some of those higher, larger cap weighted names, which are those used to be the Magnificent Seven. I guess they still are, but some of the names are falling back. Apple and Tesla aren't having such a good year to date. So maybe it's the Fabulous Five, I heard people call them. But nonetheless, big, heavy tech names still continue to dominate the market, again, as of to date. But we'll see what happens as we go forward here. And that's about, I guess, the last line. Anytime I can say magenta, I like to do it. So on the magenta line on the graph there, that is capturing the U.S. aggregate bond market, the AGG ticker. And that is showing a negative 1.62%. And that is a total rate of return. So again, as interest rates rise, bond prices fall. And so that's just capturing the negative returns in the bond markets that we're seeing. So now switching over, the next section I talk about is the treasury rates, or the treasury interest rate environment, but I use treasury rates to capture that. As an investor, just as a quick aside, I like to focus on not treasuries, but rather, corporate bonds, municipal bonds, high yield bonds, things that you get paid an extra yield / spread over the treasury rates. Pay attention to the credit quality you're taking, and of course the duration that applies to all fixed income investments as you go along. But I show treasuries here just to capture the clean underlying rate movement. So just want to emphasize that. I'm not implying you should be holding all of your bond exposure in treasuries, but that's what I show for cleanliness here. So back to the task at hand, what have treasury rates done? So I mentioned earlier for the month, treasury rates were up about 0.25%. Looking at the graph here, I extend the lens back for 5 years. So you can see still capturing the pre-COVID rate levels, the big drop off, and then what rates have done. Again, recall March of 2022 was when the Federal Reserve started their rate rising campaign. And so you can see the very swift rise in rates. Things chopped around, and then the last peak we had, let's call it October of 2023, when rates really started just cranking away on the longer end, and then suddenly things pulled back. Again, recall the Fed got a bit dovish late last year. Market started pricing in a lot of rate cuts, and so you'll see that on the graph. Rates pulled back, but again, beginning of this year, I mentioned in January, they started moving back up, and that theme has continued here into February. Specifically pulling out some numbers, I show the three-month T-bill on the graph here. My source is Y Charts. 5.25 for three-month T-bills. That's been flat of late. The two-year rate, 4.64. And again, these are all end of 229, not today, but end of February numbers. So two-year rate, 4.64. 10-year, 4.25. And the 30-year, 4.38%. So yes, shorter term rates are higher than the longer end. That's called the inverted yield curve, and that is still with us. So we'll see what happens with that going forward, but that's where we're at. And then I also show again magenta line, got to say it. The magenta line on this graph is the 10-year TIPS real yield. So getting in the weeds here, but the TIPS market, this yield, real yield, is the fixed rate coupon you get regardless of what happens. And then your par amount on your TIPS is adjusted up with actual inflation. So 1.92% is the current real yield, which is pretty attractive. You know, historically, looking at this graph, that's definitely on the higher end of the range. And so that's where it's still at, and some attractive value there, in my opinion. What else on the chart? That's about it, I guess, on the treasury rates for this time. I guess what I don't show here, earlier I mentioned it, I think, but if not, I'll mention it again, backtracking a bit. So interest rates, these were all treasuries. So overall, corporate bonds, municipal bonds, et cetera, high yield, those were flat to down as well, but the exception is high yield. So I'm going to quickly mention that. I don't show a spread graph on my blog post, but high yield continues to show a positive, slightly small, but still positive year-to-date return. So that just tells you that credit spreads remain tight, which again is kind of surprising in my opinion, given the environment, but that's what the market is doing. So we have to deal with the market that we're given. And then finally, my next topic is FOMC activity. So the next FOMC meeting is going to conclude. I say conclude because it's always a two-day meeting. So concludes on March 20th. That's when we hear from their statement and the press conference afterward. The interesting thing this time, it happens four times a year, we get the summary of economic projections from the Fed. So it tells us not only what they think about inflation, which has been a hot topic of late, but also their views, where they think these different levels will be at the end of the next 3 years, and that is inflation, unemployment rate, real GDP growth, and then, of course, the infamous dot plot, where they think the Fed funds rate will be at the end of these different, end of the next 3 years. So in mid-January, again, using the CME FedWatch tool, in mid-January, the market was pretty much baking in the Fed's going to cut rates at the March meeting. So again, not that long ago, a month and a half ago, there was about a 75% chance that the market was expecting that. And then along came the FOMC meeting at the end of January, which they were more dovish. And then we had a couple of hot inflation readings in February, CPI, February 13th, and then the PCE. I just as a quick reference, I did do a blog post on that. My mid-month of February was an inflation update. So I encourage you to reference that either podcast and or blog post on that as well. But the Fed told us at the January 31st meeting that they weren't looking to raise rates anytime soon. They wanted to see more data with inflation to make sure it kept coming down. And they were vindicated given the recent readings in February. So ran a bit hotter than expected. And so again, they would need to see the data, the whites of the eyes, if you will, before they want to start cutting rates. On the blog post, I show, again, not expecting a rate cut in March. So I did go out. I do, if you reference that inflation blog post, I show you what the probabilities were by the end of the year. So this month or this blog post, I decided to use mid-month. And so, mid-year. So I am showing the CME FedWatch meeting from June 12th. So I guess two meetings out. We got the March 20th. Then we got a May 1, so I'm looking at the June 12th meeting, kind of the mid-year point. And that, as of now, or at least as of 3-5, so this would be data through March 4th from the CME FedWatch tool, we're looking at about a 35% chance of a no rate cut, believe it or not. But the majority probability, it's about a 50-some percent chance that there's going to be a one rate cut by that June 12th meeting. So that's what the Fed funds futures market is pricing in right now. So if you're not a user of that CME FedWatch tool, definitely encourage, for those who are interested, encourage you to check it out. It's a free tool. Click around, see how to use it, but it's a pretty interesting tool. So again, it's at the cmegroup.com or just type in CME FedWatch and it'll get you there. And at this point, I would typically move on to the special topics of the month. And I'm just going to make it short and sweet. And I'm going to say use this extra time to make sure you get your information off to the accountant, because they're definitely looking for it by now. So in summary, the markets continue to march higher. Again, looking at the table, U.S. equities are up, let's just call it 5% plus. International, not as much, but the emerging was. And so risk on continues, but in spite of the Fed may not be cutting rates as much as the market would have thought, which I think explained a lot of the rally late last year. So market still doesn't care, but we'll have to see how far that holds on. Interest rates went up about a 0.25% in February. So again, starting to retrace that rip rally, and rally meaning bond prices up, yields down late last year. So it's starting to reverse that, but still, still a little ways to go, it appears. We'll have to see. And then the FOMC, we have our next meeting March 20th, so a couple of weeks out. I believe Powell, yeah, he does. He speaks the old Humphrey Hawkins talk. I'm not sure what they call it these days, but he's going to be in front of Congress tomorrow and the next day, I believe. But then they went to that quiet period. So March 20th, look and see what they say. But again, in the meantime, some data points. We got Powell speaking tomorrow on March the 6th, and we got the jobs report coming out this Friday. So take a look at that. Make sure you get your information off to your accountant. And with that, that's a wrap on today's topic. Thanks a lot. Thank you for listening to this episode of The Financial Translator. I hope this discussion helped clear up any confusion and will lead to more confident financial decisions. Thanks for your time, and be sure to check out all of our resources at pvwealthmgt.com. Until next time, go confidently.